Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
New Churches.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
What? Okay, this is the only place for resources. You can maybe find decent resources somewhere else, but this is the number one place. Nobody has resources like we do.
I had coffee with one of our listeners who were through Edmonton for a conference, and we connected and had coffee close to my church. And it was funny because he's Canadian as well. And he was like, through listening to our podcast, he realized that he was saying resources. So he now says resources. Cause he was like, oh my goodness, I say resources too. And I'm like, what? I thought, what? Why are you changing? It's funny.
Like, you didn't change. You lived in Nashville for 5 years. You still didn't change.
Hey, I'm still saying y'all.
Is Christina still saying y'all?
Oh yeah, I'm saying y'all too.
All right.
Dude, so it's great. It's going strong. I honestly love it. I really do like it a lot more than you guys and all the other things that I used to say. So anyway, so today we are talking about decisions, and especially within a multi-site context, clarifying your decision rights is like make or break it. One of the most common issues for campus specific staff and global staff. It's this constant run of the mill. This is what needs to be talked about. So if you haven't yet brought about clarity to this, then you're going to love this episode and you're going to love the question. Now, if you're in a church plant or you're like, well, I'm not in a multi-site context, just decision rights and clarifying decision rights within your single site church is incredibly critical too, as you grow. As you grow, if your team is two people, then obviously it's not as critical. Yet, if you have a two-person staff team and 10 ministry directors who are lay leaders, then yes, it's so important that everyone's clear in their decision rights. So I'm going to read the question to you. This is a question that came in through one of the friends that we used to be friends with in Nashville, still are friends with. She's a kids pastor in a multi-site church in that city. And she just sent me this email, and I thought it'd be great to answer on the podcast. So here it is. We are presently looking at how to clarify what decisions are acceptable to be made campus to campus. For example, one campus may decide a cleaner is best for them, while another decides that they like another type of cleaner. Or a student ministry may have concessions at one campus while another campus may not. Or one campus may decide to run kids training in a little different way than another campus. Do y'all have a list? And that's why I was a Nashville, one of our Nashville friends. Do y'all have a list of items that you allow to differ from campus to campus? I hope this makes sense. So
I got strong opinions on this one.
All right, go, man. Shoot.
Okay, so first off, we've talked about this before, but a big part of this comes back to your decision as a church when you're in a multi-site context. Are you an identical twin? Are you a sibling? Are you a cousin? How much DNA do you share? But the big piece of this, so once that's made, it's easier to answer this question. I am a person who would say make everybody read Politics, Silos, and Turf Wars, the Lencioni book. But there's a bucket process in there that's really important. So there are three buckets. Bucket one is DNA issues that we say, hey, this is either part of our DNA or so important that we don't want to change it. Look, I just said important. I said like a Canadian. I didn't mean important. Important.
Enunciation, man. You're not slurring. Enunciation.
That do not change. I know. And I got off a plane at 1:34 last night, and it's now whatever it is. But anyway, the big thing here is anything in bucket one doesn't change. You don't have the ability to make a decision on it. Now, anything in bucket three on the other end of the spectrum. This is do whatever you want. Like, it's fine. You can make your own decision. Bucket two is in the middle, and that is where Daniel talked about in an earlier episode, having a working group. A working group is important because then, you know, there you have all the children's people working in a working group, at least the children's leadership, who can make a decision, and together they decide what to do. So in your example of cleaner would, in my opinion, definitely be a bucket three issue. I really don't care about what cleaner you use. And if we're talking about cleaners, wow, we're really, really micromanaging. Or you've got somebody in central services, or you've got a very strong central services ops kind of thing going on in your church. And you may be static where you should be innovative, and innovative where you can be static. You all have heard me say that before. But ideally, you want to get as much in bucket one and three as possible, because you don't want to have to bog people down with bucket two stuff. Ideally, also, I got one more thing, Daniel, and then I'll promise I'll be quiet. If you are not absolutely clear in your vision and values, then people will not know how to make decisions. And you will start to put policies in place because somebody made a dumb decision and we didn't want it to ever happen again. And you need to ask yourself, is this my fault? Is this a training issue? Is this a communication issue? Or is this a competency issue? Because we may blame it on competency. I can't believe they made that decision. But if you weren't clear and in your communication, and you weren't clear with your vision and values and had a very, very specific culture, then that's on you, because people are carriers of culture and it's all about shared behavior. And a big part of shared behavior is you know, our way. Like, how do we do things around here? And if you want consistency in how people make decisions and you want to delegate responsibility and authority, then you have to be clear on all these things. And that's the biggest part of what we do with Pipeline. And I'm not pushing Pipeline at all. I'm just telling you, bring clarity to your story, your strategy, your structure, your systems, go around. And I'm telling you, that is the number one best thing you can do to have not only symmetry, not only alignment, but synergy across your campuses.
All right, so let's hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and we'll continue our conversation on. It is now well known that planting new churches and campuses is the most effective way of reaching the lost, and launching in rented venues like schools or theaters is one of the most cost-effective ways to launch a new church. So if you're planning a launch or are trying to figure out how to do church well in rented venues, we encourage you to check out our friends at Portable Church. The team at Portable Church Industries takes your vision and creates engaging environments that keep volunteer retention high and allow more energy to be spent on ministry. Go to portablechurch.com/lifeway to learn more and find free customized resources that teach how to launch portable and strong. All right, so to recap, so far,
I was really expecting you to close in prayer when I was finished.
Oh, that's good.
I'm sorry, I got fired up and very opinionated on that. I'm sorry.
Okay, so to clarify, bucket one is
core DNA stuff that does not change. Either it is a DNA issue, or we as a leadership team or senior whoever have decided this is just the way that we're going to do this, and don't even ask. Like, this is just how it's going to be. Maybe in 3 years you can ask, but right now this is a bucket one, so that we can move forward clearly.
Bucket two.
Bucket two is bring it to us, because this is something that we haven't addressed, but and we haven't put in either bucket one as a you have to do, or a bucket three, do whatever you want. Bucket two is those things that we haven't addressed yet, or they could be specific to a ministry area, and those should be made, you know, together. So bucket two goes to a working group.
Yes. Okay. So that's super helpful.
Or gets lifted up. If it can't be solved there, it gets lifted up to the strategy team for a decision.
Yeah. Bucket one, bucket two, bucket three. My sense is most multi-site churches that have maybe one or two campuses and are just kind of get going, they, most of their decisions and most of these things is probably, if you were to proportion the percentage of all of this into bucket one, two, and three, the majority is likely going to be bucket two, in the sense of we just kind of haven't gotten there yet. So with that being the case, I wouldn't say stop everything and spend 5 days filtering between bucket one and bucket three, because every week Sundays are coming. Don't do that. But based on Todd, I'd agree with what you said in terms of how do you get things into bucket one and three as fast as you can. Now, that's going to take time. And there's a sense where I would say, if you are an initiative driving kind of, I want to lead up, I want to help, I have some thoughts and clarity on these things, then lead up and lead that, bring about that clarity within your department and begin influencing across, influencing up, because not everyone actually is like that. Not everyone has that drive to find that clarity. There's many leaders who are just like, well, just I really love the ministry side of things. You just tell me what, you know, some of these things and I'm good. I'm good to go. You make the decision. I'm good. So if you have a drive to bring about clarity like this, then I'd say have the conversations, share this podcast episode with those on your leadership team, talk about bucket one, bucket two, bucket three. But here's where the values piece matters so much, is unless you have a clear set of core values, not accidental, not aspirational, not permission of play, but a clear set of core values, core values that dictate how you do everything that you do, it's literally just going to be executive team decides bucket one, two, and three, and that's it. And no one else kind of knows why. Maybe some people get it, maybe other people don't. But if you have a clear set of core values, then you could actually, if you're multiple layers, levels down within the organization, within a department, within a campus, you can actually make the same types of decisions and you would be able to anticipate what the executive leadership team is going to make. Right. If your core values are clear enough. But in my experience, most churches, a lot of it is bucket two, whether you're single site or multi-site, or everything is bucket one or everything is bucket three, right? But it's kind of most of the time there's this lack of clarity in two. And I think part of it is because a lot of churches don't have a clear set of core values that's dictating how they do, what they do to get to where they need to be.
Man, I think that's really important. So for those listeners who are kind of growing into this, especially, just have the conversation about bucket one, because what will happen over the course of time is things will get filtered out into bucket three and two. I mean, ultimately, they should get filtered out to either bucket one or bucket three. That's just the way it works, because there'll be people in your church that think cleaner is a bucket one issue. Mm-hmm. And that's when you have the corrective conversation. We don't just put a policy in place to make it go away.
Yeah. Now that's where it's helpful to have playbooks for each of the various ministry areas, so that anyone stepping into those ministry areas know that they know what is a bucket one, two, and three issue for that area of ministry. And that just takes a lot of time to get done. So definitely work toward that. I would honestly, just to kind of end this podcast episode, I'd say as you're doing this, the last thing that you'd want to do is swing the pendulum the entire other way and have so much rigidity that you have a massive policy, philosophy, ministry, playbook, whatever you want to call it, for multi-site, that every decision you make, it's literally, let's look it up and see what was decided. To avoid that, now obviously you want to record this kind of stuff, but to avoid it, that's why you need to get to the core values, and they need to be, they need to drive decision-making. So hopefully that helps. If you want to continue the thought process around vision, strategy, values, and the core value stuff that I've been talking about, that's all from chapter 6 of my book, No Silver Bullets. So definitely take a look at that, and take a look at really what is your leadership pipeline look like. And Todd, this upcoming year, are you going to do any other multi-site cohorts? Because I know you and Brian Rose did one this last year.
Yeah, Brian and I are talking about it. I mean, how those typically happen is we'll have one or two guys that are in, you know, an area say, oh, I want to do this or I want to host this.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're toying with it. He travels a ton. Brian Rose has been on Five Leadership Questions. He hasn't been on here, but man, he's just a super, super sharp guy. When it comes to multi-site, we have a whole course. Yeah. I mean, it's, and that course actually hasn't
dropped
yet. So just
reach out to Todd on social media or shoot him an email, right? I don't know if you want me to share your email on the air. It's not really
private. No, just DM me on Twitter.
Yeah, DM him on Twitter. There you go.
And then okay. I'll probably give you my cell phone, actually. So, word.
Okay, so there you go, at Todd Adkins. So do that if you want further conversation around multi-site. And on that note, we will catch you next time.